Hello and welcome. You're listening to Get a Better Handle on Life with me, Barry Winbolt. I am my own guest today because I had an interesting, even to say exciting event in my life yesterday. It could have been the terminating event of my life, I believed at the time. Turned out not to be quite that bad, but I thought I'd put out a quick podcast about it, and in this case a video cast as well, because I learnt a lot. As you'll see, I'm not a spring chicken, and I had a stroke yesterday morning in very amusing and entertaining circumstances. And the great thing about it was, apart from the fact that I came through it okay, is that I was able to observe what was happening while it was happening. And I meant to check the statistics before I switched record this morning, but I haven't done it. But I do know that strokes can happen to people at any age. So if you're a millennial or younger and you're thinking, yeah, well, strokes are for old people, which is kind of what I thought, you know, I don't need to bother. I don't need to look out for the warning signs and all that. So a number of things came out of this for me yesterday. One, it was a very entertaining exercise, as it turned out, though scary at the time. I deal with scary pretty well. But I did get very tired immediately after. I won't keep you in suspense much longer. I'll tell you what happened. And then I spent the rest of the day being looked at, treated excellently, I have to say. And if you're in the NHS in the UK, the UK National Health Service gets a lot of stick. Don't believe it, because those guys are great. They're doing a brilliant job. And a lot of what you hear through the media is, frankly, scaremongering. Although based in truth, if you use the wrong truth selectively, it becomes the new truth and it stamps everything else out. So the prevailing message in the UK at the moment is the NHS is broken and we don't have a health service and we can't get hold of a doctor, like many countries at the moment. Now, while all of those things may be true, if you use the system correctly, in my experience on several occasions, and that of my wife, incidentally, then you won't be disappointed. But things have changed. Yeah, you can't pick up the phone and get your doctor running round to your house immediately or even get an appointment immediately. They told me 2 weeks just to get a telephone call. Anyway, more of that later. I don't want this to turn into a sort of political polemic, but I do want to recount a story which for me was entertaining, informative, possibly life-saving and certainly life-shaping. And that's the relevance to get a better handle on life. So, and what I was just saying about age, don't switch off just because you're not 70 yet, which I'm in my late 70s. So, and I'm in fit and good health. So generally, health isn't something that worries me, but I'd had some gnawing problems. There's a huge amount of stuff that has gone on in my life recently involving all sorts of things I won't tell you about, but I've been under a lot of pressure for about a year. And hey, I'm professional, I can deal with it, can't I? Or so I thought. So that's where I was, and I'd been having some twinges and symptoms, so I phoned our national helpline 111 to get some help. And to my astonishment, they rang me back in 2 hours. A medical person rang me back in 2 hours. And to my even further astonishment, she said, I'm sending an ambulance within 5 minutes. So, well, that was by then about midday. But what had happened at 8 a.m. was that I went into my kitchen as usual and I was alone there. And I was trying to get Alexa to play some slow jazz from Spotify that I like. And I noticed as I spoke to Alexa, now she does wind me up and she does raise my blood pressure because half the bloody time she won't do what I ask her. And that's obviously down to me not knowing quite the right language. And there's also been quite a time lag lately. So I'm not as fond of Alexa as perhaps I was a year or two ago. Anyway, I said to Alexa, please play some slow jazz. But what came out of my mouth was something like studio, study, gobbledygook. So I thought, wow, this is odd. So I tried again. And it was really in slow motion. I could think very clearly. I took a great deal of care about what I said. Listen, I speak for a living, so why wouldn't I? I slowed down what I was saying. I made it very clear. I planned my sentence and utter rubbish came out of my mouth. Although it was mostly intelligible. Intelligible rubbish, but not rubbish that I could linked to anything. It didn't make any sense. No relationship with what I was asking for. So I did that three or four times. I sort of struggled with it for about 3 minutes, but maybe it wasn't that long. And in the end, I kind of knew what was happening because I know the symptoms of stroke. And so I did the usual tests, held my hands up, pulled my face about. Can I move my limbs? Everything else seemed like, yeah. So I went and sat down at the kitchen table. The coffee was brewing, waited for my wife to come back. Of course, I didn't tell her. Being a man, I didn't tell her what had happened because it would have rung alarm bells everywhere. And I was still busily trying to pretend that I'd be okay. But I did go back to bed for a couple of hours, having rung the emergency services to say, look, I think I'm in a bit of difficulty here. As you can hear, I'm still having a very slight problem with some liaisons between words, but never mind. Anyway, picked up by the ambulance, two lovely paramedic ladies checked me out, and they also checked out the dog, which was not medically, but they really loved our dog. They checked me over, and yep, we're going to take you to hospital. To my surprise, I have to say, because I felt pretty well okay by then. But my blood pressure was very high, and I never know these. I never look into these things. I just figure I'm all right. So we shot off to hospital in the ambulance. And on the way, and I said this was a positive experience. It really was. On the way, I realised that I'm more frightened of going to the dentist than I am of dying. Because people die in ambulances from strokes, unfortunately, sometimes, I have heard. Now, that may be apocryphal, but that was my belief. So we're queuing in traffic, and the paramedic says to me, the one who was accompanying me, how's the headache now? I did have a slight headache up here, and I don't think I had any other symptoms visible or that I was aware of at that time, but my blood pressure was very high. And so she said, how's the headache? And I said, well, it was all right till you asked me, and it came back. And then I got to worrying a bit more and thinking about it. Now, I'm not naturally a worrier in the way that but I had a 20-minute drive to hospital. I had plenty of time to reflect on my own mortality. And seriously, it was a learning experience for me, because if I'd have snuffed it, well, what would I have known about it? I'd have been dead. Now, I could have been maimed or injured as well, or shall we say incapacitated in some way. I know strokes are very serious, but I also know if we get to them quickly, then there is a better chance of recovery. Now, as it turned out, I'll put you out of suspense, a little bit of a spoiler, it was a stroke, but it wasn't the sort of stroke that does all that damage. But nobody knew that at that time. They treated me with, like I was made of meringue or fragile glass. They treated me very well, but obviously they were more cautious than I felt. They were taking it very seriously. They took my blood pressure again before I got out of the ambulance and walked into the hospital. And I saw a worried glance and a nod pass between the two attendants. So I was taken in. 15 minutes later, I was with in triage being sorted out. Now, if you live in the UK, please pay attention to this. 15 minutes in A&E. And I counted. There were about 28 people at that time. 15 minutes later, I was in triage. Sadly, I had to tell my whole story over again, which is an IT problem, which is a bit annoying. But so that put my blood pressure up. But charming lady took my history, took my blood pressure, same result, very high. Okay, on to the next stage, which happened to be bloods, took all my bloods. And then the lady called me back, took an ECG. Now, listen, what's happening here? I'm 77 years old. I'm getting a complete rundown, which is exactly what I wanted. Shame I had to report a stroke to get it, but I was chuffed to bits with this. I was very pleased because we need checking over now and again when you get to my age, I figure. Good sense. So there I am. We're now, what, maybe 45 minutes into my presence in the hospital. So I'd had three tests already, and then off for a CT scan. So another 15-minute wait, CT. Two great guys shut me in this tunnel, whizzed me about a bit. I'm out. I've been CT scanned. I guess it took 3 or 4 minutes. They told me 3 minutes, but it didn't seem like that long. But start to finish, including walking there and walking back to A&E, that probably took certainly less than 10 minutes. So I'm back in A&E, waiting yet again for a doctor, and then I fell on my feet. I was very lucky. She did all the tests for pulling me about, limbs, arms, legs and stuff, made sure I hadn't had a stroke. She also was very concerned about my blood pressure, rightly, apparently. And so, you know, a whole list of rundowns. Things were done, discussions were had, consultations elsewhere with other doctors, apparently. Cut a long story short, the CT scan came back and the bloods came back. And it turned out I'd had what was called a TIA, which is also called a mini stroke. And it's not really a full stroke in that nothing's broken. The artery swells up, apparently. This is my layman's knowledge. And it sort of shoves brain tissue about. And so the connections get messed up. So it mimics a full stroke behaviour, I guess you'd say. Notwithstanding, she was very serious about how serious it is and that I should take it as a warning, and booted me out. And I gently, and I'd been there 3 hours, start to finish, accident emergency in the UK, NHS. I'd had something like 5 tests, as thorough as you can get. I'd been put on a register to be called back early next week because I'm now in a certain risk category, which suits me fine because it gets me the attention. And obviously, if I'm in a risk category, I need to change something. So it's good to have the advice, isn't it? So this is why I say it's overall, it's a positive experience, because there was more learning in it for me than there was anything else. And I'm really pleased on a number of counts. But I'm making this podcast now because I think it's important stuff to know. Here are some learnings that came out of it for me. One, take health seriously, particularly if you are a man, because we're known to bury things. And I didn't bury it in a sort of a total denial sort of way. I knew something was going on, but I figured I could sort it out myself. Now, I'm a therapist, of course, and I've worked with people for over 30 years with high degrees of stress. And this is now me. I didn't know that yesterday morning at this time. I do know it now. I know I have to change something and take care. But the interesting thing about us, because I'll put myself in that group now, is that we're typically people who feel we can achieve things. Typically, we put high demands on ourselves. And typically, we think if we push a bit harder, we can sort out pretty well any problem. Does that suit you? Does that match you? Because pretty well every client I've seen in a 30-year career who is dealing with stress in a serious way had that sort of mindset, and felt that to ask for help or to do anything about it or to recognise the symptoms was somehow inconvenient or didn't reflect well on them. And, just do a bit more. Just do this. Just do that. It always involved doing more. It never involved just switching off and doing less. And that's what I've learned I've got to do. And that is a big step for me, because I work pretty well in here, in my mind, pretty well 24/7. And I do not know what it means to sit down and just read a book, say. I have to have a reason to be reading a book. I'm travelling or I'm sitting in A&E. I got through a good book yesterday, by the way. It's another thing I gained from it. So lesson number one, take your health seriously. Yes, of course, sounds obvious. But if you're 20, 30, 40, don't wait till you're 50 or 60 and eat crap food all your life and live a crap lifestyle and drink too much alcohol, particularly binge drinking, and do all that stuff and smoke and drink, as I did when I was younger. And I'm not saying that's the cause, because I stopped excess a long time ago and I lead a very healthy lifestyle. But don't ignore it. Don't think that stroke or any other ailment, by the way, is an ailment of old age. Care for yourself now, because we're bombarded with good advice, and it's good advice for a reason. So don't think you're doing it if you're not doing. That was one lesson that came out of it for me. The other lesson was that I'm not afraid of dying, though I don't want to, clearly, but I'm more afraid of the dentist than I am of dying. And I like the dentist. I don't worry about going to the dentist unduly, but if you gave me the choice of going to the dentist or dying, well, I guess I'd choose the dentist, wouldn't I? But the actual sense of fear I feel when I think it is imminent, that's what I'm talking about. I'm more nervous at the dentist. If somebody told me I had to die in an hour, I'd probably spend it with my wife and my dog. But I might not. Might choose to walk along the beach. But I'm not scared of it, because it's going to happen, isn't it? It happens to us all. So that was the second thing. And the third thing that I cannot champion enough is the work done by the health staff, the healthcare staff in any country, for that matter, they are such committed people and they are such brilliant people. Here in the UK, unfortunately, and perhaps in some other countries, I don't know, they get so much bad press. Doctors are on strike at the moment for good reason. The NHS has been underfunded for many, many years. And I cannot... I worked, by the way, as a volunteer during the pandemic with healthcare workers as a volunteer therapist. And I heard the stories, some of the stories, and I know what destructiveness is brought, how destructive it is for a person to work in a value-driven occupation, i.e. medicine in this case, but it could be psychology, it could be teaching, it could be anything else where you have kind of a big ethical component in your work. And then the system you work in won't let you fulfill your value-based obligations, if you like, if I can put it that way. Now, what do I mean by value-based obligations? Well, if we do something that is incongruent, inconsistent with our values, it does us harm. Gosh, this is turning into a bit of a platform issue, isn't it? Sorry about that. Anyway, look, take care of your health. Praise and protect and support your healthcare system and the people in it because they desperately need our support. Wherever you are in the world, there aren't enough doctors, there aren't enough nurses. But another big part of the equation is look after yourself because they're not responsible for your health, you are. And if you look after yourself well, you'll be less likely to wind up with them. And if you do wind up with them, do what you're told and take extra care of yourself. And you'll have a long and prosperous life, I hope. So this is my point of view, by the way. It doesn't ignore that some people suffer very much with their physical and mental health. And by the way, I've had both in my family, mental health problems and family members that wound up in their death and terminal illness as a partner of mine for many years until, sadly, she passed away. So I'm not preaching in some social media type of way. I'm talking from experience and trying to hand some of my hard-earned wisdom back. And it turned into a bit of a polemic about the healthcare service as well, which I don't apologise for, but it's not usually the purpose of this podcast. Anyway, that's it from me today. I think I've said quite enough. Barry Winbolt, get a better handle on life. Now, please, one of my videos the other day, I noticed had 9,000 hits. It hasn't had one thumbs up or one like or comment or anything. Now, I'm not knocking the people. I'm very glad they're using the stuff. And in this case, one of the videos was being used for training purposes by a local authority and it was sent back to me as a link. So I'm proud of that. But have the decency at least to click the button so that other people will know and other people would be, if you think this is useful, other people will get to see it because it's the only way to spread the word. The only way to spread the word really because of that those algorithms they use is that the algorithm has to see that people are appreciating what people like me and you, if you do this sort of stuff, are doing online. So don't waste it on trivia. Put it into the important stuff you watch. And that's it from me for today. Thank you for or listen to if you're listening to this online, by the way. And if you've got any comments or questions, it's info@barrywinbolt.com. And if I think of anything else, I'll put it in the notes associated with this video or podcast, wherever you're listening to it. Thank you so much for paying attention. And by the way, this is new for me, just sort of spouting off like this, because I usually rehearse a bit more. But if this is worth doing more of on various things, and I won't always rant, although that might be a bit of a stretch for me. But, you know, I'll kind of keep it under control, but I always try and put out useful information in some way. So let me know what you think. All the best. Over and out.